Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the production company that's made the video you're watching or the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 4 weekly podcasts: Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, Blood and Syrup, Warhammer 40,000, The Valentine Heresy, and Curse Code and Crown, as well as 4 event podcasts, with miniseries releases scheduled at random intervals: Dumb Scum and Villainy, The Mythos Mysteries, One Shots, and the bad movie review show, Garbage Town the Movie Podcast. But we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. DUMBDUMBDICE. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for being part of our stories.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. Go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today.
Welcome back to Dumb Dumbs and Dragons, where improvisers who've never roleplayed before journey into the world of Dungeons and Dragons. I am the Grand Wizard Bukake, your host. Our heroes are heading to Cornucopia, the town of plenty. Juniper played the flute as the team practiced dancing. Butthole drew up a plan to clear an abandoned town of zombies, and Quinny discovered posters for Quinny Days before ringing the town bell and setting the trap. Can our heroes survive battling a horde of zombies? Find out next on Dumb Dumbs and Dragons.
From the gates, Butthole and Juniper, you hear the bell begin to ring as Quinny disappears from sight into the bell tower and begins to ring the bell. The undead who are stumbling around in Treebury begin to shuffle towards the sound, as you'd anticipated. Can both of you roll me a perception check, please?
Ooh. 16.
17.
Okay.
Nets.
Both of you see the zombies begin to shuffle towards the bell tower. However, you also see a flash, almost of a lens, from the general store, and the sound of a window breaking.
Well, what the heck is that? And I mean, how far away is that?
You're still outside the gate, so a fair distance away. Yeah, if you get up and over the gate, past the stalls, then there's the general store.
Okay, so I'm thinking we got to check that out as well. Do you want to do the general store and I'll try to get close to Quinny? Should we both go to Quinny? Is the general store on the way, Tom, or is it out of the way if we were to head to the tower?
So heading south towards the tower from the north, which is where you are currently, to your right is the general store. To your left is the saloon that Quinny ran over the roof of. Bell tower is at the southernmost point, beyond which is the gate that Quinny saw.
So I guess we'll go to the general store on the way, but we should probably get over this wall. We'll stay behind the zombies. They probably won't notice us if there's a big bell ringing, but we got to know what's going on with this general store, because I saw a flash or something. Zombies don't flash lights.
I think there's the... Oh, wait. My guess is that the people are in here. There's someone in here.
Interesting. Okay, well, let's get over this wall. Do you have a way to climb? Do you need me to climb up and rope you over? What works?
I mean, I can use my spider legs.
Okay.
But I mean, I really only get them like limited use, so.
I feel like you're walking through something here, but I don't know how I'm supposed to contribute.
All right, yeah, let's just go on over. Can you scramble?
I can try.
All right, so Butthole, give me an athletics. Juniper, you activate the spider legs, which work for an hour.
Yeah, cool.
So we won't say that they're out necessarily for the full hour.
Yeah.
More so think of them as kind of like when Spidey pops his Iron Spider arms and they're just kind of available to him when he needs them, but up to you how much you want to use them or not.
Cool.
Butthole got a 15.
15? Great. And Juniper, can you roll the same, please? You can roll with advantage because you're using the spider legs to climb.
Totes. Ooh, that's not good. That's marginally better. 12.
Cool. That's fine. What does the spider legs deploying from under your wheelchair look like?
I think it's they kind of like grow out from the bottom and start to like push up, and the wheels themselves kind of like almost like shift upwards to like make room for them, and they just it's like straight down. And they kind of like expand out. I'm trying to think. You know, like one of those like head scratchers that's like multi-pronged that you like massagers? It kind of looks like that onto the ground.
Okay, awesome. And then you begin to skitter up the wall. So again, this isn't a huge barricade by any stretch. It's enough that you do need to climb to get over it, but it's not, you know. This was never going to keep invaders out. This was meant to keep, like, wandering beasts out. So you get up and over. You fall down and in. Let me just see if the zombies notice. They're rolling at disadvantage because the bell is very attractive. They do not. So cool. you kind of drop down, again, similar to Quinny, in behind the food stalls. That also provides some visual cover for you. These aren't full cover by any stretch, but there's enough of a, you know, tattered, likely behind the stalls, like tattered awnings and things that they would have used to kind of protect themselves from the sun, give you a bit of cover. And your goal is to move to the general store, correct?
Yeah.
All right. Can I get stealth checks, please?
Sure. And I'd like to see if there's like a back entrance to the general store that would be preferable versus like going up to look in where the window broke. Like,
yeah,
that seems a little silly.
I will say the window broke on the back side.
Oh, it did break on the back.
Yeah.
Okay. Then
I got a six
opposite the window.
Quinny kept his ring. He didn't help. So six.
Yep.
I got a 19.
Great. And Juniper, with that in mind, are you checking the back or the front?
I will check the front.
The front? Okay.
Yeah, I'll go in the front.
Juniper is able to quickly cover the distance in her chair, rolling kind of up to the front, hovering up the first few stairs, and then kind of pulling in next to the door. Butthole, as you begin to run and stumble, you kind of like trip through one of the stalls. You knock some things over. There's a tense moment where a couple of nearby zombies stop and kind of turn their heads creakily over their shoulder, kind of in that classic first shot of a zombie in Resident Evil where you're like looking up from the floor in glorious, barely 16-bit CGI. 32-bit, I guess, at that point. What do you do?
He will cast Thaumaturgy to amplify the bell sounds in the distance because he can beef that up.
Great. So they immediately, like, they're turning. They're you know, you can see their field of vision cones just about to turn to you, and then the bell gets so much louder, and they just kind of stop. And they almost share a look, but they're both looking at different parts of each other's faces because they don't recognize eyes anymore.
Yeah.
And then they both turn in unison towards the bell.
And Butthole just rolls to the side and gives Goblin Jr. a thumbs up from where he is on the ground. Then he's like, we're not going to do any more high risk sneaking. We're going to let them all get to the bell tower and then just run.
Great. So Juniper, you have arrived at the front door of the general store. It has been closed from the inside. What do you do?
So I can't like try the doorknob. You're saying it's like barred?
No. You can try the doorknob. Oh, okay. I'm just saying the door is closed. Like it's not like, you know, hanging wide open.
Yeah. I mean, I will. I think I will like basically just like try the knob. Mm-hmm. And see if there's any sort of reaction.
Sure is. Can you roll me a con save?
Yeah, for sure. 16.
16. All right, so you'll only take half damage from this, which is right. Good. But as you turn the knob, you hear a click. And suddenly the door bursts outward in an explosion of... sharp metal, kind of scraps of metal, and basically like think like a pipe bomb.
Okay.
So because you passed your check, you'll take half damage on it. It was going to be 16 points of damage, but you will instead only take 8.
Okie dokie.
As you're rocked in the chair, kind of you know shielding yourself with as much of your krung arm as you can.
Yeah.
Grunge arm. Although I think we've established you look like Juniper. Most of the time now. So instead, I think it's probably just ducking behind the wheel,
yeah.
Letting the spray hit it.
Yeah, the armored wheels for sure.
Yeah. But with the sound of the explosion, several zombies turn away from the bell tower and begin to moan in kind of like surprise and agitation as they begin to stumble towards you. The crowd is basically starting to divide in half. So half are remaining swarming the tower, but a bunch are beginning to converge on your location. What do you do?
I think at this point I yell like basically at the door, which is now blown partly open.
Blown fully open.
Fully open. So as I'm kind of like ducking just outside like the door frame, I'm just like we're friendly literally trying to help, not a threat.
Brains.
What?
The zombie horde continues to mutter brains as it lurches toward you.
Oh, I just go right. I roll right in.
Great. Can you roll me a dex save?
Yep. Committed now. 16.
16. All right. Half damage again. So you roll in and immediately feel resistance against your front wheel. And you realize you've rolled over a tripwire. As you do so, there's a fire explosion. That again, at this point, I think it's just Sideshow Bob stepping on rakes. Like it's just, so it blasts against you. It was going to be for 15, so you'll take 7.
Cool.
Points of damage. It's just at this point kind of like a, hey, we're friends, kaboom. Like, okay, yep, wheel further in, trying to get away from the zombies. The general store itself has been ransacked. You can see that, the small kind of round wooden tables that would have held provisions have all been kind of knocked over. There's a body slumped behind the cash register and sort of a spray of blood on the wall behind it. Generally speaking, there's a few empty cans and that sort of thing, but it's very clearly been picked over. There's a back door that is closed. You can see similar trap rigging.
Mm-hmm.
So like essentially like a stool with a cable leading to the door handle and then a tripwire just underneath that, as well as a staircase leading to the second floor, which is where you saw the glint and heard the glass break.
Okay. Very carefully, I would like to move towards the staircase.
Sure. You want to roll me a perception?
I want to see if because I can hover over the tripwires if there are any at like wheel height. Mm-hmm. So perception? Ooh, that's pretty good. 20 total.
20? Yeah. There's definitely a tripwire at the bottom of the stairs that you're able to hover up and over. But you get the sense that really these defenses seem to have been built for doors, for the front and back door more than anything else.
Yeah.
So you begin to hover up the stairs. Meanwhile, outside, Butthole, you've seen the door blast open. Then you've heard a secondary blast from inside. You've seen the zombies turn and start running. You've also heard Juniper, like, call out that your friend, not foe. The zombies aren't paying attention to you. They're all converging on the general store. What do you do?
Yeah, of the zombie setups, are they all heading this way now? Are they split between tower and here?
Split between, like, the tower noise is still very, particularly with the thaumaturgy on it, is very attractive. So yeah. Half the zombies, we'll say there's probably about, at this point, probably about 15 zombies on the tower from various corners of the town. And there's probably about 15 converging on the general store.
All right. Well, this plan's gone to shit. And he just looks to Goblin Jr. Yep. And he just says, stay nimble, buddy. And Butthole gets to his feet and raises his hammer. And he just starts farting. Just and he's just going to spin up his wall of spinning, damaging hammers around himself. And then he's just going to book it straight to the doorway because he can hold the doorway just by standing in it. So he's cast that spell at level 5. The moment that any of the zombies get in range of it, he's obviously running right to the door. So if he's running past them, he gets them. But the moment that they enter the field, they have to take a wisdom save at DC 18.
Oh, man, if there's one thing I know about zombies, they are fucking great at wisdom. They love it. They love it so much.
Old corpses, yep.
Yeah, you know, just it's their favorite thing. All right, so wisdom save.
Is it wizened or wizened? It's wizened.
I've always said wizened, but...
I think it's one of those ones that can go...
I think it's
either
wizened.
Is acceptable.
Yeah. All right. And, sir, what's the DC, Ryan?
18. 1-8.
18. All right. So we'll say, moments after you kind of plant yourself there, we'll say 5 reach you.
Great.
So we'll say
and their movement is halved in the field. So if their movement is 30, it'll actually take them 2 turns to get through the 15 feet of hammers to me.
Great. Improbably 3 of them survive. 2 of them, get obliterated.
Great. So the ones that survive take half damage, which in this case is...
Well, actually, I guess I should find out what the damage is before I say they were obliterated.
26.
Wait, that's the half damage or the full
damage? That's the full damage. Half will be
13. Ay, ay, ay. Dios mio. All right, so one sec. So let me get all these stats down here. Okay, and 2.
If anyone's wondering... Multiple dictionaries confirm wizened.
Oh, there we go.
Well, the more you
listeners,
know.
You'll learn something. So did I.
Now, what happened in the last 30 seconds? Because I was looking.
I'm killing. Just wait. Tom's doing math.
Turning into a food ninja, but for
nice
for zombies.
Yeah,
makes sense.
All right. So no, unfortunately, zombies are still up. But they are slowed.
Great.
As they stumble through the hammer smacks, snicker snack, etc. Quinny, this has happened. You came in, you rang the bell. You probably saw Juniper rush the door. Saw the trap go. Just because you're up in the bell tower, so you kind of got eyes on all this. What do you think your next action would be? You see, you're kind of rush the door. You see zombies start to head in her direction.
Yeah, I'll go help Juniper out, especially with traps going off. Maybe I can help with that. What's the distance from me to this general store that she went to?
I mean, if you're asking for Dimension Door, it's within Dimension Door. If you're asking for a Springy and Striding, probably 60 feet.
60?
But you also have verticality to... taking account.
Yeah, the thing is, like, if I cast that spell again, that's my spells. That's it.
This is in Dimension Door. That's high level.
Well, it's just warlocks have 2 spell slots at level 7.
Okay.
Yeah, but everything is a 4th level spell. Even like Misty Step, for example, is now at 4th level.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it all gets carried up.
if you look down, you just see Butthole in the door with the hammers pummeling zombies coming in, and he's looking up at you and just doing that fingers in a rotating circle forwards, like, just keep it rolling. This is going great.
You probably hear like a muffled, like, I'm here to help, like coming from the inside of the store.
We see Mage Hand. It's not concentration. So I'm going to cast Mage Hand to keep ringing the bell.
Oh, nice.
But I want to go down and help out just because it seems like we weren't expecting booby traps, and two explosions have gone off in rapid succession. And Quinny feels that he's the best for handling booby traps. So he's going to cast Mage Hand, and then I think he's going to jump off full on like Assassin's Creed swan dive. He'll, as the ground closes in, he'll misty step like down and forward, carrying his momentum to like get there.
Great. So is your plan to arrive next to Butthole, to arrive on the roof? Where are you trying to get to?
There was glass breaking, right? There's a window
on the second floor. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go for the second floor window.
Okay, great. So you and Juniper, reach the room kind of, at the same time. You burst in, to find, that window, is shattered. You can definitely see traces of it on the windowsill. It looks like it was blown out. There's a small, I think almost like a sea captain's style, telescope. So like a small handheld one on a tripod, set up at the window looking out the other direction. You find yourselves in what's clearly kind of like a, almost an outpost sort of, scenario. There's, sort of a few canisters of seeds, some peanut butter, that sort of thing. You can tell that this is where the trail rations are made. There are, a couple of like classic zombie game maps with like overrun, don't go here.
Right.
That sort of thing. Otherwise, you know, a kettle, sort of a small stove has been kind of brought up and crudely retrofitted through a window,
mm-hmm.
To allow the boiling water and that sort of thing. But yes, generally speaking, there's a bedroll. You can tell that someone's been camping here.
Okay. I'm going to grab that captain's telescope.
Sure.
Just telescope it down and tuck that away. You mentioned it's like it's handheld. It's okay to carry, or is it like
no? It's on the tripod. It seems more for like it's a little bit like, you know, putting a selfie stick on a tripod. Like okay. It's not a heavy item. It's okay, just for ease of use and great. Convenience.
Perfect. Yeah, because we very recently realized we might want that. So I'll take the telescope. Looking now at. Juniper came into this room as well. Juniper's here as well.
Yeah, she's just finished hovering up the stairs.
Okay, so checking in with Juniper. Are you okay? I heard explosions and shouting.
Yeah, there were traps. But wait, is there no one here?
Not right now, but someone alive has been here. I look to this furnace. Is it like still hot? Very, very recently. Looking around, did they make their exit? The glass was busted out.
Yeah.
If I'm now inside this room and I look out the window, do I see maybe like a landing impression or anything like that? Or what's at the building across from us?
So they went out, from kind of our original justification. So kind of furthest to the right. So I guess I hate doing upside down directions, but basically, they went out the back.
Yeah.
Hastily. Not towards the other building, but towards the woods. You don't see an impression on the ground where they would have landed, but you do definitely see glass and window pane out there on the ground. A quick glance at the window pane suggests that you can actually see, like, it's a very clean break. In all likelihood, they weakened the sill so that if they did need to go out fast, they could go out very fast without having to try and disarm all the downstairs traps. So this definitely seems like the bug out window, if that makes sense.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, I'm going to say we deal with these zombie horde.
Yeah. Let's wrap up here.
And maybe whoever else is fighting them or looking out, maybe they'll come back when they realize people are here to help. I don't know.
I'm thinking Butthole can use thaumaturgy to just give the all clear once it really is all clear. But for right now, yeah, we gotta wrap this up so that it's safe for people to be here.
While this is happening, you're just hearing the sounds of hundreds of ball peen hammers thudding into flesh and bone down below you.
Yeah.
So Ryan,
we look out and there's just like blood everywhere.
If I understand your powers correctly, you'll basically just be able to mulch these things given enough time. Is that correct?
100%, yes. With this one, basically, they'll be able to get to me. So the idea is it's 15 feet in all directions. It hits whoever I want. The moment they enter the field, their speed is halved. So it takes them, like, they'd walk towards, first move would get them into the field, second move would get them to me. But each turn, they have to take a wisdom save or take full damage or half.
I don't think zombies move 30 feet. I think they're slower because they're shambling. Yeah. Undead.
These guys actually do have a pretty decent, decent-ish walk, but you're absolutely right. I feel like over time, I think, Ryan, maybe what we'll do just to keep this wholesome is we'll take 12 points of damage over the course of clearing out the horde, and it's literally just like from occasionally they'll get through and manage a
cool
slash,
yeah, because he would hold this door the way he is, and then for the ones that had gone around the building, he would actually run over with his hammer still up, because technically this other power is different, and he would destroy undead, so he can just like blast them out if they're within 30 feet. So yeah, 12 is perfect. I completely agree. Love it.
Awesome. So for
I would say for Quinny and Juniper, however, watching him use destroy undead, this is different than you've seen him use this power previously, because though he yells the word Moonhammer when he raises Moonlight Bringer high, he arches backwards and out of him, a giant golden version of Butthole just expands like a godlike radiant light swoops up around him and then snaps back into his body, and golden light sprays outwards and just slaughters the zombies that are around him. The few that remain, he takes out with Moonlight Bringer. But it's the first time you've seen any aspect of himself within the divinity.
Yeah. Oh. Did you know he could do that?
That's new to me, too.
I didn't know he could do that.
Gonna say it's one of those butt hammer things.
That's just stuff he's made up.
I mean, made up, and yet we've met Moonhammer, so.
All right, so a broken clock is right twice a day, and this is the second time the clock's right.
I think everything's dead. Should we go look up in the tower or something? What happened in the exploding rooms?
Somebody was living here. They took off to the woods. I was thinking maybe you could get super loud and tell them to come back. Tell them it's safe.
Yeah, sure, I can do that. Just I'll go up top so that I've got the most thing. And he'll just like pull down some of the barricade over the front door and go and climb up the tower. He sees the Quinny posters and he's like, well. Or do
explosion.
I?
Roll me a con save there, bud.
A con save?
Well, I imagine this counts as combat because I do have a stored up disadvantage from helping Quinny with Mirabelle. So my focus is not on my surroundings because I'm thinking about how we're going to get this girl for Quinny. So with the disadvantage, there we go. That is a 4.
Great. You take 20 points of damage as the bottom of the tower detonates outward.
Fuck.
You literally open the door and it's just like, Die Hard. So you're blasted back, the tower begins to creak and groan, and crack as the structure begins to fall inward and towards you. What do you do?
Well, in all the movies, people run directly away from the thing towards them, and it's a race to see if you can get out from under it. But Butthole is a person in reality, so if it's falling straight at him, he runs 15 feet to his left and is
takes
safe.
Two steps to the left.
Yeah.
The tower comes crashing down. The bell bounces out. You have to take like at least 4 steps because it's falling. It starts to creak your way, but similarly, you just keep going on that, strafing angle. And sure enough, you feel bad from a visual perspective that you didn't give the audience a breathtaking sequence of you trying to outrun a tall thing. but from a survivalist perspective, you feel pretty great that you avoided danger by very clearly stepping out of the way of said danger.
and then he just awkwardly turns on thaumaturgy and is like, hey, local people, we took out the zombies and the evil bell tower.
Dum-Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into a world of darkness and vampires with Blood and Syrup, a Vampire the Masquerade live play podcast featuring Ryan LaPlante as the gangster Ridley Beef, Tyler Hewitt as the conflicted detective Everett Fry, and Megan Miles as the poet Iris Dunn, with storyteller Tom McGee. Join these newly turned vampires as they try to take control of Montreal. But all is not as it seems, and as their humanity slowly slips away, they are forced into increasingly dangerous situations as the streets of the city run red with blood and sticky with syrup. Abandon hope, all ye who listen here. New episodes available weekly. Ah, ah, ah.
Out of the wreckage, a single flyer drifts and kind of catches your leg, and you see Cooney's face staring back at you.
Oh, what's this? And he'll pick it up and read it.
It's an invitation to Quinny Days.
Oh, I think Butthole doesn't know what time of year it is, so he'll just head towards the others and be like, "All right. I know where we got to go, and we need to get there before Quinny Days, because this sounds really fun. Quinny, I bet they give you a special hat or something for being you."
Yeah, no, I saw these things in the clock tower. Nice, by the way. these are old. This is, whatever this was, this has already happened.
Do you think they made you their king? Like, maybe you're the king of the halflings?
I have no idea. If you want to try a gambit, I would say maybe try shouting that Quinny is here and see if that person comes back. They may try to kill us. I don't know.
And he'll just megaphone outside the building just immediately like, "Hey, Quinny's the one who led the team here to save you. Quinny Brown Barrow."
Wait, Quinny, has there always been a holiday for you?
No, I mean, I've got a prestigious rogue award named after me, but not...
So this is new to you,
not
too.
Not a holiday.
Well, happy Quinny Days. Belated.
Thanks. This is weird. I don't know if I like this yet.
Quinny's here for a reason I can't talk about, because he prayed for it. But if you know him, you should come here.
There is no response.
I'll give you money.
Me, Tom McGee, the human, arrives. Still no response.
Okay, I don't think they're gonna come. Quinny, all the buildings
tell them,
are kind
tell
of...
them we'll get them food. We'll get them protection.
Upstairs in this general store was the same kind of, you know, trail food, rations and stuff like that we found out there in the wild. So this person seems pretty capable, judging by how many things we have blown up. Are you two okay, by the way?
I mean, I've been better, but I've been worse. And then he'll just like raise a hand to his own chest and cast Cure Wounds on himself. So,
yeah, Juniper will do a lay on hands to herself.
All right. Okay.
You both brush your shoulders off, looking healthier with every...
Yeah.
So you guys are looking better. Okay, good. Anyway, yep. Yeah, this person seems entirely capable of taking care of themselves. I have a feeling... they will be keeping an eye on us as we haven't seen hide nor hair of them so far, which honestly is pretty skillful. I'm really impressed. I don't think we need to worry about them in terms of their safety. We might need to worry about them in terms of ours, but...
Well, they ran when we got here, right? Like, they didn't team up with the zombies to fight us, so they're probably survivalists. Quinny, I got a weird question for you. We need more... things to offer the farmers. Can you do like a quick look through the different stalls or whatever, and just anything that's booby-trapped we can probably assume is where the random stranger (S) are hiding, so that's probably their stuff. But anything that isn't booby-trapped, theoretically we could go through and see if there's gold or other stuff we might be able to trade for more food.
Yeah, I'll give the place a once over, but I think this place is booby-trapped just to kill intruders or undead legions.
I mean, you'd think that, but like none of the stalls were booby trapped, and so far this place has been booby trapped. But there was a room upstairs with posters of you, and you said the tower was booby trapped. And by said, I mean I got blown up by that fucking tower.
Yeah, I didn't say anything. Yeah.
Well, you said there was another thing with posters of you in it.
Yes,
so
there were posters. Yeah.
Maybe
I'll,
it's all.
I will
of
check
your
for
fans.
Traps, and I will check for valuables. That's fine. I can do that pretty easily.
Great. And then as you go to do that, Buttle turn to Juniper and be like, should we be worried that Quinny's fans play with explosives?
I mean, well, we don't know if they're Quinny's fans. I mean, I suppose they are Quinny's fans. I mean, maybe they were just using it for, like, you know, toilet paper. I don't, you know, obviously, is there a shit bucket in the corner?
Was it? You were up there. I'm down here with you now.
Neither of you were up in the bell tower. The bell tower is where the Quinny pictures were.
No, no, I just mean the general store, because I didn't see, like, if there was a shit bucket in the general store.
General store was fully equipped. There was, yeah, there was, like, a water closet.
Well, I'm just saying, we don't know, like, we have no idea until we find these people.
I think we're going to
say there was no Quinny shit in the general store, just for the record.
No Quinny merch.
Okay, well, all right, then we won't worry about it. But if things start getting intense, Juniper, you've looked at my moon manments. We might have to come up with some Quinn manments that we could give his fans so they stop blowing us
up. Are these, like, do you think these are decent people, or do you think these are people who would, like, sacrifice Quinny?
That is a good question. Generally, people who have posters of people aren't willing to sacrifice them. But if you just have explosives and no posters, then maybe. Explosives are kind of generally a red flag on whether or not someone's a good person. Because if you have bombs, you're either bad or kind of shady.
Well, you use bombs.
When?
I've used bombs.
I use magic. That's different.
I mean, yeah, magical bombs.
Yeah, well, mine come from a goddess. If you're a goddess who has bombs, you can be kind of shady. That's fine. You're a goddess.
But, I mean, a lot of people worship gods and goddesses, and they make bombs. So, ultimately, I have to think about this one.
Yeah, welcome to religion.
All right. So, Quinny, can you roll me an investigation, please, for your investigation of the town?
19.
So we'll say you are able to scrape up probably about I don't need to make this up. I can just roll a dice. So this game's about right. all right. You find about 65 gold amidst the various stalls and stands. You would know that gold is more of a thing that would be brought in by people traveling the roads to trade, whereas the local farmers would likely just trade goods. Money does certainly exist in the fertile fields, but it doesn't really hold the same cachet. Like, it's much easier to just be like, oh, I need some milk, here's a loaf of bread, than be like, here's some gold, I don't know, spend it somewhere. Like, the economy model just doesn't really truck here, aside from knowing that it's easier to trade with other peoples, particularly travelers. You know, like, if drow travelers are coming through, it's easier for them to just be like, here's some Underdark gold, can I have a chicken? Then be like, yeah. I don't know, here's a cool book. Not unexpected. The coins are kind of from everywhere, as you would expect, but certainly something that you can trade with. So you gather that up. In terms of booby traps, you don't find traps on any of the other buildings or stalls. They seem to be
saloon. I figure the saloon might be trapped.
Saloon is not trapped.
Interesting.
But also, you don't find any hints of people living there. Okay. It looks kind of like it was abandoned when it was abandoned. there are upstairs, you do find a couple of the rooms. You don't get the sense that this is really an inn. It's more of a stop in for a drink and continue on your way kind of place, which makes sense given what you know of kind of huge hospitality people, but also not necessarily wanting to, like, create a thriving thing. The town just isn't equipped for it. But on the second floor, you do find a couple of the rooms have been converted from probably office space or where a proprietor might live into a makeshift morgue. So there are a few bodies that have been placed there.
Bodies that were, like, undead and destroyed, like, killed again, or?
Like, bodies of people who died during the attacks and have been, you would imagine early on this was likely we need somewhere to store them until we can bury them before realizing we can't bury bury people. Also, I will point out a modern issue that we, the viewers and listeners, will have is always thinking of zombies as like a constant undead rising force.
Right.
It's important to note, given the necromantic powers at work here, that the Lich Lords can raise more, but they would need to be paying attention.
Right. Okay.
Sure. Zombies don't bite zombies to make more zombies. Zombies are raised and then fight until they die.
Exactly. Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep. So we're good in the trappings of a modern zombie story, but there is a standard D&D limit to that.
I like it.
Mm-hmm. Again, it's a grim sight, Quinny, particularly given how close you are to home. Yep. But also, you know, the fact that this isn't enough bodies to account for everyone who is here does suggest that people made it out, as does the barricade you saw on the way out of town, which was clearly built kind of behind people rather than, like, they didn't make a last stand here. They clearly fell back.
Okay. I'll come back, let everyone know. I'll hand the gold over to Butthole, because that doesn't really matter to me right now.
Do you want to keep your half?
No, this one's on the house. You hang on to it.
Oh,
plus 65 to you, Butthole. 65.
Very kind. So do either of you need to rest up after this little adventure before we push onwards, or should we keep moving?
Yeah, I just need to catch my breath for like an hour or so. I just a quick kind of recharge on the old infernal magics there. It happens, I can get it back up to full power faster, but there's because the tank, it gets emptied pretty fast too.
All right, I'll cook some snacks. Goblin Jr. can help. Juniper, yeah. If you want to maybe
Why don't we hang out up here in this apartment. Actually, there's something I want to check on up there too.
Okay, then you do that. Juniper, sometimes you can make fields make more stuff grow or whatever. And mm-hmm. I feel like the farmers in this area have had, let's just say, a shit year. So maybe if you could help their land
yield.
Do good for them with less work, that might kind of make things a little better.
All right, well, I mean, if we've got 8 hours.
We don't. Oh, that's what you require. Never mind. I misunderstood.
Yeah, that's not what you need, Quinny.
Yeah.
I am.
Maybe we'll
save
that.
It might be something that we do on the way back.
Yeah, or we could do that in like the center where we're hitting the stuff where the people, if they're still hiding out, are. Okay, so then do whatever you want to do for an hour. You got an hour. It's you time. I'll make snacks.
Up in the apartment, Tom, I would like to just take out the telescope once more and place it back where it was in the tripod to get a sense of what the telescope was looking at.
Mm-hmm. You get the sense that it has a pretty good vantage point on the town, on the front gate. You can, now that the bell tower is down, you can definitely see the back gate. But just kind of seems to be well positioned for general lookout.
Okay, but in the position, can I tell what was specifically being looked at before it was no longer being used? Like the last time it was used, what position was it left in to be
looking at? It was aimed at the front gate, okay. where all of you arrived.
Okay. So this person may have seen me come over the front gate, but they definitely saw you two. Okay. I'll take the telescope again. Just wanted to get a sense of what's going through this person's head. Why can't we, like, we know so little about them. Is there are there any personal effects whatsoever inside of this apartment, or is it pretty stark survivor kind of
it's stuff? Pretty stark in here. You saw more kind of personal looking stuff in the bell tower, but given the collapse, it's gone. You get the sense that this was likely the functional space. The other one was probably the more private space that was likely less used, but again, was there was a lot there. It's gone. This seems very taciturn and very functional.
Okay. Then I'll just kind of, after checking the bed for, you know, some kind of bed bomb, I'll climb in there and just stretch out and relax and sort of not like meditate in any earnest way, but for Quinny, meditate, just mm-hmm. like kind of close his eyes and just think on stuff. But he's basically just looking to recharge for about an hour, short rest to get his spell slots back and get his head back in the game.
Gotcha.
Butthole will use one of the kitchens in one of the stores. He's going to try to bake muffins. But while he does it, he's going to be doing some praying because he still isn't sure what to do to help Quinny with the Mirabelle problem. So he is going to pray for divine intervention. So he's realized now that Moonhammer.
What a day.
One for long rest. Except if he succeeds, he has to take a week off. He's praying to Moonhammer, but he's realizing Moonhammer, instead of being the like Moonhammer has all the answers, Moonhammer is an equal now. Because Moonhammer is Moonhammer in her dimension, and Butthole is Moonhammer in this dimension. He's the Butthammer. So instead, it's like Slack with like a colleague, where he's like, I got this thing going on. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to do.
Wow.
And like, he doesn't get the answer back. It's just like writing one-way instant messages. And while he does it, his beard goes down and just forms boobs like Moonhammer had. He doesn't do it consciously. It just reshapes while he's thinking. And let's see if he gets anything back on the old deity Slack channel.
Jesus Christ.
He does not this time. So doesn't have answers.
What's the Slack channel called?
I think he just signs on as Hole because his whole name would include all his titles. So it's even shorter. And I think it's just Hole Thoughts. Is just where what he's like if he were writing it into in a Slack analog. But he feels like he's on the cusp of something, but he still doesn't have the answers for what's the right way to answer Quinny's prayer. And then, Tom, what do I roll to see how good my muffins are?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think let's make it I'm inclined to say performance, but I might give it to you for medicine.
Let's go with medicine. I think that
you're
feels...
mixing ingredients in an attempt to make the most nourishing possible muffin. Like, it's not necessarily gonna be the tastiest muffin, but it will be.
That is a nat fucking 20. These muffins fucking rule. He gets lucky in this kitchen as he's going around for two reasons. One, there is a stone closet that was airtight, and when he opens it up, all the dry ingredients he would need for cooking are still there. And it even has a little magical rock chilled like fridge. So he's got all the ingredients. And two, he finds a recipe. Butthole does not really know how to cook, but he knows how to be told how to cook. So he like pins it to the wall. Goblin Jr. and him get on chef hats, and they just bake some fucking muffins. And he accidentally... makes everyone's favorite muffin. He makes three different kinds, mainly by accident, but it's like, what kind of muffin is Quinny craving when he wakes up? What kind of muffin will Juniper want? They're there.
What is Quinny's
favorite muffin? Rhubarb elderberry.
Ooh. Yep, so that happens.
Through an incredible combination of spices that evoke that without having any fresh vegetables or fruits.
Yeah. Chocolate chip. For Quinny, because try as he might, he is essentially a child.
What about you, Ryan?
It includes both of the other kinds of muffins, also blueberries and beef jerky. Like, his is just a weird monster muffin, but it's got the protein he needs to keep his big old body chugging along. So he's delighted. And he and Goblin Jr., it's both of their favorites because with the meat content, it's speaking to the wolf. So they are very pleased.
Understood. So, having taken a rest, Quinny, you awake, feeling a little bit more magical, but also the smell of fresh baked muffins. And though everything in this town kind of went pear-shaped pretty quickly, at least you can all have a decent meal before you set out to find out what happened to your hometown and see if you can find any trace of this mysterious stranger.
This episode of Dumb Dumbs and Dragons features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Laura Elizabeth at EL Hamstring on Twitter, and our DM Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode's sound was edited and mixed by Laura Hamstra, and Dumb Dumbs and Dragons logo is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. Our theme songs are And Now for That Massive Coronary and Skipping Through the Orchestra Pit Part 1 by Peter Gresser, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R. All available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. That's dumbdumdice. And tune in next week for more Dum Dums and Dragons. Dum Dums and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, the Half-Blind Prophet, Christopher Little, Sue One, George Dolby, One True Artistry, Orion Birchfield, Lord Abradovic, Noel Lewis, Scott Garland, Anthony Griffin, Benjamin V, Gavin and Abby McDonald, Cade Peters, Richard Cranium, Anna Zed, Eric Williams, Logan, Fire Unfriendly, Acrix, Cameron Ezel, Grandma Likes D&D, Alan, Austin Nut Powers Fry, Stabby Stranger, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.